It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is among 20 states where the federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour applies and has not been changed since 2009. We discuss Governor Tony Evers' renewed proposal in the state budget to raise it and what it would mean for our labor market. Join in with your questions, your experiences in a minimum wage job at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Laura Dresser is here, Associate Director of COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy at UW-Madison. Laura, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Hi, Laura. Can you hear us?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So what would... Who would benefit from increasing Wisconsin's minimum wage to $10.25 an hour?
Well, COWS has long written about the minimum wage and who it helps. And I think that the narrow and first question of who it helps is the folks that are closest to the labor, the wage floor. We looked a few years ago at who would win by moving the wage to $15 an hour, past what Tony Evers has proposed, but sort of on a slower scale than many states have. And with that analysis, we found that 3 in 10 workers in the state would see wages go up. That's because people who are below or right at the wage floor have wage increases, but even people slightly above the wage floor get increases as well. So those are the direct beneficiaries of a raise in the minimum wage. And those workers are more likely to be women. They're more likely to be the state's Black and brown workers. They're more likely to be in service jobs. And so it really brings the labor standard up for workers at the bottom of the labor market. And that means that it kind of helps equalize some of the worst inequalities we have.
With the proposal here, what would the impact be on people who rely heavily on tips for their wages?
So I'm pretty sure Governor, I didn't dig into his proposal. I didn't see a suggested on the tip minimum. This is a place where Wisconsin really stands out. Right now, a tipped worker is only guaranteed or paid $2.33 an hour by the employer. The tips are intended or are required, in fact, to make it up to the minimum wage. But this is a place where labor standards are pretty low in this state. Right now in the state of Minnesota, right across the border, a tipped worker gets over $10 an hour plus their tips. And in Illinois, they get $7 an hour plus their tips. So you can see that, if you're trying to decide to be a wait staff on which side of the Mississippi you're going to pick, obviously Minnesota is offering better jobs, especially tipped jobs.
As we see businesses raise their hourly rate to compete to fill jobs, and we see banners outside their businesses as what their wage is, does that temper the potential impact of a minimum wage hike because businesses have already done it based on market pressures?
Yeah, it's important to note, right, that even 2 years ago when we did this analysis of who would win with the minimum a wage increase to $15 an hour, I think we find lower numbers now. We know that the floor is coming up because workers are demanding more wages, because labor markets are intense and tight, and because the conversation, I think, that fast food workers started in 2012 with a demand for $15 in a union, which at the point was sort of like, how could you even ask for this much? And now has become, in some ways, at least if you're going to advertise you have an opening, you're not going to put a number below $15 an hour. It still matters, though. It isn't quite as pressing because the wages have moved up. It still matters a lot, though, to have a strong floor, because some workers who maybe have less access to information or are less secure in their rights on the job, that's when the minimum wage begins to come back into play. And as you said, for those tipped workers, it really matters.
Considering the forces of inflation that we've seen in day-to-day life, would $10.25 an hour qualify as a livable wage or enough to cover essential needs like housing and food?
$10.25 it just for those of you, like, even if the worker gets full-time, full year hours, that's $20,000 a year of pay. And I think almost all the listeners will say, living on $20,000, is that your only income? Especially if you've got a kid or someone who needs your support in some way, it's just not a livable wage. It's, you know, it's closer than $725. And so I don't think we'll get tomorrow to a standard at our minimum that is truly supports independent living, you know, the cost of housing and transportation yet, but we definitely are not there with $725 an hour and without some attention to lifting this labor floor and keeping in touch with neighboring states like Illinois and Minnesota. I think Wisconsin continues to let the bottom of the labor market just stagnate.
Laura Dresser is here, Associate Director of a UW-Madison Center that studies economic and social issues, as we talk about Governor Evers' renewed proposal to hike the state's minimum wage. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Laura, this year, 26 states and Washington, D.C. hiked their minimum wages due to new laws or automatic cost of living policies. That's the Economic Policy Institute keeping track there. What are researchers learning in places where the minimum wage is going up?
I think we've seen, so, you know, the great kind of experimentation that actually sort of is rooted in that 2012 Fight for 15, the birth of Fight for 15, then that turned into innovation at the state level. As you're noting, you know, California and New York, but, you know, increasing numbers of states really moving their minimum wages. I think most of the research suggests that the states that have raised their minimum wages have labor markets that are as dynamic or more dynamic, more growth in their low-wage labor markets than the states that haven't. This has to do with a lot of things, but not least of which is that, you know, partly what happens when the minimum wage is raised is that people who work in those jobs have a little more money to maybe, you know, buy a few more services. And so there's some dynamics like that where it actually can be a virtuous cycle. The other thing that I think really matters is that as the wage comes up, workers are more able to stay in their positions. They maybe face less chaos because of, you know, the car breakdown or a fall through on their childcare plans because they have a little more stability in their income, but they also have a little more, you know, they have a little more reward from work. And so there's less turnover. And so businesses and employers and workers both kind of gain from that in ways that maybe surprise employers or aren't predictable by them.
And, you know, you're talking about employers here. Republican lawmakers have rejected a minimum wage hike proposed by Evers in his first two-year budget. And, you know, opponents have said their concerns that would hurt businesses or force staffing cuts. How valid are those worries in Wisconsin's current economy?
Well, I mean, as kind of the previous conversation said, it is a little less pressing right now than 2 years ago in terms of the sheer number of people that would be impacted. But I think one way to look at it is to think about what's going on in the state of Minnesota, where their connection to labor and their total labor force is growing more quickly than here. They have a much higher minimum wage. They've indexed that to inflation. They've raised the tip minimum, and they still have a more dynamic labor market than we do. There's just not very strong evidence, in spite of Republican or conservative claims about how this will ruin the economy. There's just, you don't find that when states do this, things fall apart. I think the other thing is that this is a really popular policy. In the legislature, it's divisive. It's understood to be Governor Evers' policy, and I think the conservatives aren't as supportive. But anytime you put this on a ballot, you know, in Missouri, in Florida, anytime you put raising the minimum wage on the ballot, conservative and liberal voters support the policy. It's one of those places where there's a lot of agreement in the population, but it's hard to get it through in a state house.
the governor in his budget seeks to set aside funds to further study the minimum wage. And I'm just wondering, what further study does it need? What research is yet to be done on the minimum wage?
I think, you know, sometimes people want to see it for here. So I think there's a lot of strong evidence that's directly relevant already. But I suppose employers and even advocates right here want to talk about the dynamics here. So I suppose thinking about who is impacted, how you do the outreach. One of the things that's really important about raising the minimum wage is making sure that everybody who should be covered of it by it knows the new wage, and workers who are, as I said earlier, maybe have less information, less literacy, less access or security in their labor rights. You know, technically someone who is does not have documentation still has every labor right, but it's hard for workers to feel like they can enforce that rights because they feel so vulnerable. So thinking about how to get the information on a wage increase to those who really need it, it can be one of the things that's important to study.
Laura, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Laura Dresser is Associate Director of COWS, formerly known as the Center for Wisconsin Strategy at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.